Everyone, you've got to look that up. Sunstroke Project and Olia Tira, whoever the hell they are, 2010 Eurovision.
Who aren't they?
It was because I just released the Donald Trump video that is doing solidly, not great, solidly. And there was one person, the first comment, someone goes, dude, check this out. And then the guy that responds says, you took me away from 10 hours of epic sax guy in a row for this. And I agree. Epic, 10 hours of epic sax guy in a row cannot be interrupted for anything.
That guy's a legend.
He's humping the microphone.
That guy's a legend, whoever said that.
Yeah, hats off to him, even though he's clearly not a fan, probably doesn't even like the page.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter, yeah.
He's legends come mad. In all shapes and sizes. They have to be fans to still be legends. It is very fulfilling.
Such an accepting man. What are we going to start with here, boys? Because there's so much to cover in the world and also just in the world of Miss Love, who's had two incredible mishaps. I think we'll start with Buskers. Are they people or machines? Was your very, very half-assed last-minute title. So are you going to delve into it or are you just...
Yeah, people, think about this. Buskers, are there people? Are they people? Or are they maybe machines?
why are they
maybe
machines?
You should get the ball rolling this one instead of just asking us that.
Let's get it.
With a reverb.
Was that it?
You were just speculating?
Let's not joke around. This is a filler segment. Yeah, that was it. That's all I got.
So you think they're machines?
Wait a second. There's nothing to this except that title that you just scrambled off the top of your head. You have nothing else.
Could they be...
Don't say fucking machines. Don't say machines.
They're so annoying universally and so sort of like tragic and helpless in their quest for money. The only explanation I can come to is that they're like really crummy Terminators. Could it be true?
I think they're humans.
That is very mechanical for you. It's almost as if you're trying to get us off the scent, and you are. You just malfunctioned. You repeated the same three words over and over again.
Are you a machine? Is Miss Love a machine or a human?
Why are you reading the point?
But what about buskers that have dreads and a six pack that are always going, okay, guys, I really need you to start clapping for this final, yeah, where I'm going to juggle not three, two chainsaws without chains. What about those guys?
What do you mean? What about them? How can they be machines? You think
they're... Oh, I'm not dismissing that point. I'm just saying they're not crummy. Those guys are not great at their job, but very nice. And that's why you give them money most offers that you're going, all right, well, you probably would have had sex with my girlfriend if we were at a party, but no, here's 50 cents.
I'd strongly like to argue that and say they're the worst kind.
What's your counterpoint?
Because they're the most gross and annoying and untalented.
Actually, you know what?
Oh, okay. Fair
when enough. You put it in that light... I completely agree. That's a really good point.
There's definitely not a lot of weight to this, but come on, guys, open your minds.
There's fine. Okay, so Holsworthy, the train station, has never had a busker ever because it's pretty much either just tradies or like Indian, Asian, like small level IT professionals and accountants that live in that suburb. So we've never had a busker.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of them own IT mobiles.
No, they own Camrys, all of them. So like the other day I was coming back from work and I said, there's a busker. And what was the most insane thing was that his little pile of cash was just overflowing because everyone was really excited that Holsworthy finally has a busker.
Really?
Yeah, and then it was overflowing. The next day I go in, there's fucking two of them now, but it's empty. Like nobody went and repeated the money. So like
word spread?
I mean,
yeah, because I think because it was the first time, like everyone that came out was just really excited that there's a busker here. So they gave him money. And then he probably told his friends that, dude, Holsworthy is an amazing place to make money. And then when they came back, everyone was just sort of over it. Like, yeah, okay, we're just going to go home, not give you any money.
I guess.
So like, there's. I think they're back to one now. The initial guy is just like, can you back off? This didn't work out really well.
I guess another version of the segment could literally be like, David Attenborough's ecology of the busker, and like the mentality and physiology of a busker. Like I would love to just like stand like 20 meters away from them with like binoculars and like observe them.
Yeah, because
and
they
write
are...
like and do like a novelette. Yeah. Do like
a, not a novel,
a novelette.
Yeah, you really want to make sure that it's under 100 pages. Oh,
absolutely.
Don't you?
Who's going to read
work,
that?
The better.
And it would be, also, who the hell is going to read a in-depth study of buskers? Not me.
It's also,
I'm very interested.
Won't even read your own book.
I'm very interested to a degree, but I would love to. I would love to just study them.
But you would just want to look at the title at a bookstore. Like you would never want to actually read it.
A little more than that, but like you know,
the back page.
A little more than that too, but a novelette.
Content.
A novelette, but I would
I
like to study
it.
Them.
I know the keywords.
I would like to study them because I want to get inside the mind of a busker. Don't you reckon?
That's actually, I would second that wholeheartedly as well.
Really?
I do think that. What are these guys thinking?
What are they thinking? What are their backgrounds? What are their sort of future plans, their goals, their aspirations? And what
don't
are
you
they...
think that all of their future goals and aspirations go down to two words? X factor. They
is...
don't even see themselves winning.
Yeah.
But they see themselves finishing in the top eight.
Just as a great note
if
of that.
If they're lucky.
Yeah, they're just really, really, really keen to get that level of fame of Lee Harding's wasabi. Wasabi!
Yes! Ali, you weren't here for that time. And I don't understand how the reverberations of that fame didn't hit you in Pakistan.
Lee Harding wasabi. I feel like every single...
Who's definitely, without a doubt, working in General Pants now.
Absolutely, in Brisbane, for sure. Which I presume is
definitely
from Queensland.
Yes, he originally was working in the Gold Coast, but got moved because of bullying.
The area manager relocated him.
And I know people that are professional...
Yes, didn't want to cause a scene. And yeah. Said, look, I'll pay for the bus ticket. You
and
just
it,
get
it's a bus ticket as
and
well.
And I can vouch this, because I know people that... Friends of my girlfriend that literally have... aspired to this, hit it. Buskers.
This is an amazing dare we smile, I've got to say. You know what?
Emo was a thing.
He killed. What's going on here? He killed. The emo movement. There was none after him. You saw the occasional one in the Shire that didn't get the memo that everybody hates you.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it was only really outer periphery satellite cities of Sydney that it went to. But before that, you could walk down Newtown and it would be all the rage. Then Lee Harding came along. Who sounds like a really cheap jeans brand.
Yeah.
More than a name.
Yeah. I have one thing to say about Lee Harding. Jordan. Touchdown.
Okay, well, we seem to have lost any sound coming out of it, but that would be a perfect opportunity to play wasabi. But seeing as we can't, you know what it sounds like.
You just heard it, guys. Shout out.
Why don't you sing it?
Why don't you become your own DJ? Why don't you just rewind back all that?
I don't know.
Just as
you are a musician of sorts.
Yeah, well, apparently.
Very good.
Oh, he's just so strange. I've actually had this phenomenon recently, which I did last night for 2 hours till 4 a.m. because I was too full to sleep. Weird phenomenon, and also too hot. But I've had this weird phenomenon of
what
I do.
What is it with you and not knowing? You are a human Labrador. You don't know
before.
When you're full.
I've heard that before. Anyway, I've undertaken this phenomenon recently where I just watch, and this kind of ties in with busking too, or buskers, the idea of buskers. I just kind of go to these artists, and I talked about this before, I think, that are kind of just on the periphery. Like, they're maybe the rhythm guitarist for, like, Guns N' Roses. No one knows him. And then, or maybe they're the artist that had an extensive career for 2 years and then disappeared. Or the artist that, you know, for whatever reason stopped making music and legitimately owns a chain of, like, bakeries or, like, really crappy restaurants.
I was about to ask that.
That guy falls in that freaking mini subgroup, Joel Turner. See him? Joel Turner. Do you remember that guy?
I don't think that... Yeah, I do remember Joel Turner. Yeah. It was another huge hit for about four months.
Yeah.
It was a great... What a time to be alive. But I've been... that could make sounds that sort of sounded like a drum machine, but he was definitely not the best in the world at it. And it was when the internet first started coming up, so they kept trying to hit that with us on mainstream television, that he's the best beatbox artist in the world. And we were all going, no, it's Raphael from Brazil.
Yeah, exactly.
We know this for a fact, that this guy is really like watching A-League soccer and then watching a game between Manchester and Arsenal.
Yeah. It's not this
Who
guy.
Who wants to watch the Central Coast Mariners v
Channel 9
Western Sydney.
It's definitely not the guy from like Bankstown. That guy. It's like, no, he's average, you know. It's just like not true. Like, he's not a good beatboxer.
Yeah, I distinctly remember listening to him bust some beats with his mouth and going, I can do better.
These kids trapped in
How hard is it to do this? That was the beat to that. It was go. You're doing two sounds.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Ali's the...
I am the new phenomenon.
Awesome. It went from that, didn't it? It just went, guy that can circular breathe from a didgeridoo
to
Joel Turner. Now we've got Ali. Nobody else is able to make two sounds with their mouth at once.
But just to tie in, you know, Lee Harding, Australia's best talent of our generation, to Buskers, it's just this strange...
He absolutely is.
And he could... I would... If someone, like... You know, gave him a little, nice one, kid, and like slapped his face, and his face just fell off. It was robotics. I wouldn't be very surprised at all. It kind of ties in with Buskers. It's like, what?
So good at his job, it can't be human.
What is
so
the...
So good at being an emo.
What is the mechanics and the psychology of these people? Because it's so strange. If someone offered me a chance to be world famous for a year and then disappear, or, I don't know, let's say that, or someone giving me a... thumbs up with what I'm doing now. Just give me the thumbs up. Don't they see the bell curve? Don't they see the whoop? It just doesn't work. Like, where is he now? Is he alive?
I want to know where he is. On Australian Idol in front of that not
Mark Dicko
great sized audience that they always have on Australian reality TV shows. It's always about 160 people.
Kyle Sandilands
is a
judge.
When you watch America, it's close to 1,000. It's not the same sound backing. It's a little more than a smattering of claps when they finish.
Absolutely.
But he would have sat there listening to that, like the guy that's trying to juggle two chainsaws in Darling Harbour. There would have been a moment in Lee Harding's mind where he would have thought, I'm the next Beatles.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is amazing.
Dicko going like this, Kyle Sandilands going like, mate, rev it up. You're rock and roll and... I don't know.
At least he saw the top.
That Mark guy just being a moron.
Can I just say one word? One word? Touchdown. Two words, dickhead.
Touchdown. It's an American sport. It has no relevance in Australia.
And was he even talking about that, or was he discussing the curvature in reading in primary school where you finally get to the point of congratulations, you can read a newspaper and it says touchdown?
He definitely had the mind of a bloody school teacher, although
he looked like just anyone who's year four teacher didn't look exactly like Mark Holden. Please post in the picture in the comment section of this podcast.
Just as a side note, not that I definitely do not want to spend one extra second divulging to the life of Mark Holden, because fuck that guy. But I was reading about something yesterday, and I don't even want to discuss this because fuck him. But apparently he's a barrister now.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a guy that had a slogan on television. That is honestly like hearing that Indian guy that used to go, no, bingo, is now one of the most influential men in Australia.
He's a barrister. But why is that such a big deal?
Because this guy's a moron, man. Are you kidding me?
That was his act.
No. There was something perpetually...
you after watching six seasons of that consecutively.
Yeah, there was something...
There
was something perpetually frightening about what he did. Irrelevant. I mean, even if it was an act, there was something true there.
How do you know he was a barrister? Do you think...
Maybe he was a
barista.
No. He was a barrister. You don't go from Australian...
Morning Herald typo.
You don't go from a, you know, TV Oh, that's my keys, sorry. You don't go from a, you know, C-grade Australian TV celebrity to a coffee maker. I know it's pretty much the same job. You don't go from that.
I feel that's a natural progression.
Yeah, me too.
Like, if you're a C-grade celebrity,
actually, yeah, no, I couldn't imagine Lee Harding making a coffee. I wouldn't trust him with the job.
He would burn
I could
the
only trust him with folding clothes and saying, "You right, buddy?" And then everyone go, "Yeah, I'm fine, thanks." He goes, "Cool, cool. Well, you know where I am."
Can we just actually, I know it's sort of been open-ended this segment now, but can we just close the segment by opening it up to the audience who I'm sure absolutely could not be bothered to do this, but can we just go on a hunt to find where Lee Harding is?
You know you want to.
Everyone, get on board. Let's make this a thing. In the comment section, information, something.
Anything. Have you seen him at a gig? I would imagine that he every now and then, when he's just in a pub, there's like some drunk old guy that's got like one of those Greyhound trainer jackets on. Yeah. Like, get up there, Lee. Get up there and get
your
wasabi.
Yeah, karaoke.
I didn't know that wasabi was a thing until that song. Thanks for opening me mind, mate.
I went onto the Wikipedia page and his life just mysteriously ends on the internet at about 2010, I think. So let's find out.
There's such a massive gap there.
6 years.
Much like reading Paulini's life, and then all of a sudden you see her on the side of buses as the new singer to The Bodyguard.
Oh, man.
In the musical.
Yeah.
And it's just good, like, good, man, how, like, were you auditioning for the last 6 years for this?
Let's find him.
Honey, I'm really glad that you got this gig. And all power to you. I really, really hope that you get back your job as spokesperson for Paddy's Market. It was very good seeing you sitting on a mountain of durians, although I'm sure it must have been very uncomfortable and stinky.
What's that?
Durians are just this fruit that smells like a dead body. And when Westerners eat, Asians are always like, it's nice, huh? Have some of that. And then you eat it and then you're like... A lot of people do vomit together.
And you're and forced Paulini, to like it every
Paulini
time.
Paulini is the face of that fruit. Yes, being like, it's a thing. Try it out. Yeah. I know it's not as good as Uncle Toby's roll-ups, which good on you, Australia, for inventing that. But
you're
it's,
in the tropics.
Oh, God.
If you're in Queensland, you might like this, but I doubt it because mangoes are obviously way better. Stop trying to introduce durians. You... filled with 90% Chinese immigrant markets.
If I keep going down this rabbit hole, I just want to sit in one of those salt baths for the rest of my life with the nice music. You know what I mean? The thing that we did. That's got, I can't
yeah, okay, you're talking about a self-deprivation tank, which, by the way, thank you so much to the guy that introduced us to it. I still go back to it all the time. It eases my mind.
Oh, yeah, he was a pretty nice guy.
Fantastic. I highly recommend that everybody do it. Go do a deprivation tank. And just like what we were saying in the last podcast, that we have really turned into Joe Rogan's podcast without any guests ever. It's just three Joe Rogans talking.
No, I would actually make it.
The crustiest feeling. I really do feel 47 doing this podcast. Don't you go?
No, but I need to I think... So you need to try it at least once to this whatever. What's it called again?
Deprivation tank.
Yeah, so you need to try it once, but... I don't think you would want to do it again because I think it was not that great.
Wait, what's that?
Ali, come on. I just gave it the biggest shout out. It sounded like you were as well. And then you tell people not. Now they're going to be confused.
No, I say that
it's
you...
It's like watching a debate between a climate scientist and a climate scientist.
Well, so that's
they both have good points.
Yeah, they both... But like, come on, let's not make it a Joe Rogan. I went there and I enjoyed myself and I decided, yeah, once is enough.
That's amazing. So anything that is to do with water novelty, so Wet and Wild, White Water World,
no,
all of these
are
Jamboree,
all great.
They're all great, but I'm not going back to them again.
I am.
I want to go to Wet and Wild, although I am kind of put off by like that two people drowning and one person being decapitated at Dreamworld. That's kind of put me off roller coasters a bit.
I don't know. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Take me arm or me leg.
They're supposed to be scary.
Yeah. And this gives an additional sort of thrill.
They're supposed to be scary. You know, yeah. The Super Man. Will you have a heart attack and die or not? 50-50 chance. Yes, yeah. Oh, God.
All right. Shall we?
Where's your head at? The ride.
I think we should probably move to other segments.
Yeah,
yes, we should.
But tell us where Lee Harding is, please.
Don't really know what that has to do with Donald Trump anymore, but these guys were like, it fits perfectly. It fits perfectly.
As if Donald Trump is not a fucking cowboy routing around the West being like, essentially his version of being, you're fired, by just shooting his gun.
Isn't his version of like, pretty much firing bullets and just rolling it in his fingers and keeping it back in his like gun
holster? Pretty much.
He's even got the same hand expression
as what people use to mime a gun when he says, you're fired.
He's way more expressive than any other politicians. Like, you can see the cowboy in him.
It's great. It is such a nice image to see that as well. A guy that you could easily... Holy crap, the guy that used to host Channel V just walked out of the studio behind us. That guy with afro.
I never watched Channel V.
Half black, I think.
Is this the guy
Very tall.
Is this the guy that we discovered...
Oh. Again, this is amazing. Again, Ali, I know that Trump is very important and his impacts on the world could change the world, but so can this. This conversation can as well, because just while we were discussing all of these celebrities that have faded into total obscurity.
he walks by!
Much like the Sasquatch, just for a brief moment. Is that him? Oh my god, he's gone! I should have gotten my shaky, shitty quality camera.
Your Nokia.
My crap Nokia out. And filmed that guy with a shaky thing, being like, he's real. It would have had the same impact.
But he was wearing...
thousands of people going, nah, man,
he was wearing
a wristwatch.
He was wearing a wristwatch. It looked like the guy from LMFAO or something from behind. I've
seen that guy before here.
Wait, is this the guy...
Except for, as previously discussed, that guy is half black. The guy from LMFAO is Jewish.
Is this the guy... Okay, is this the guy... Is this the guy that we already discovered that had, like, a hit in, like, year 10 and got picked up by, like, BMG? And then
He's back! That's exactly what I'm talking about. Oh my god!
Is he coming in?
No, he's not. He's gone into the...
Oh my god. Okay.
He's not even on air. This man has 5 years' experience hosting Channel V, and he's the producer for the show on FBI.
God, that gives me hope.
By the way, thank you so much for all of your facilities, FBI. I really appreciate it. But what are you doing with this talent?
He's mismanaging it,
you fools.
He looks
about underemployment.
He looks like he's really calmly looking at a Microsoft Word document.
I love how Miss Love is like hiding his mouth so that for some reason, if this guy can lip read,
dude, he knows he's been on Channel V, man. Can we just do the rest of the pod looking at him and laughing? Like, the audience would hate it, but we can just silence and looking at him and seeing if he'll do something.
Well, I can't not now. It's too distracting. I'm in total shock and awe.
I remember looking at
this guy on TV all the time and just and being like, man. You are a king amongst men. You are so tall.
Should I?
He seemed like a really nice guy as well. I will give him credit for that as well. He seemed like the most calm, relaxed, put together dude. You know what he should have been? He should have been that guy sitting in the hammock for the Corona commercial that's just like, life's good, baby.
His resting face is a bit sad. But should I just point and laugh at him and hide and then we giggle?
Please don't do that. Okay, can I just say, God, I wish you did.
Great idea.
In my mind, it's like Trump being elected. I wish I could live in an alternate universe just to see how it panned out. But then you turn around and you're like, holy shit, we're in that alternate universe. That is us. There is definitely a parallel universe somewhere being like, all right, well, that election went over. That was boring, wasn't it? We're the one just being like, holy shit.
Things just went
from 0 to 100.
We'll bring it back from Australia's Trump out there to real Trump.
Yes, the guy from Channel V, before the show went defunct, is, you heard it right here, Australia's Donald Trump.
he's not even white, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, do you reckon he listens to the pod?
Probably.
It is possible.
Yeah, it's possible. Nah, I'm going to say no, definitely, but...
No, I'm pretty sure that guy would be a massive music aficionado and would definitely be the kind of guy, despite the fact that he was one of those guys that talks between songs, I can guarantee you, just by looking at that guy's like relaxed t-shirt, that he, while driving in a car, is always, as soon as it comes on, going like, yeah, that was Kelly Clarkson, and it was just like, yeah, and I don't want to listen to you, and changes the channel.
Haggard's talking between songs. This is the most annoying thing, isn't it? During the song. It's just like, shut up in your mouth.
And I don't know
what
I think what Miss Love is like, what I find really annoying is, you know how like sometimes radio hosts they like increase the volume and then lower it and then they say something really stupid and then increase it again and then lower it again while they say something?
Yes, a community radio classic.
No, that's not community radio. That's more,
dude, that is like the dumbest shit ever.
That's Triple J. That's not community radio. The most annoying thing is when they like the song has an outro. There's like a minute left and then they just fade it and start talking. It's like,
oh yeah, that too.
You just stopped the song.
Well, it depends on the song. If it's
have
a shit song.
Have you ever texted Triple J with the extremely obnoxious, overused text of "Get back to the tunes, shut up"?
I definitely have thought about doing it a lot, but I've never done it.
Yeah, that sums you up to a T.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what? You should send a dick pic to Triple J.
Sorry?
You should send a dick pic to Triple J. What? I reckon they appreciate those.
They definitely would. Behind scenes, that's such a thing that they would do, and they talk selectively to a couple of people in the Triple J studio that they know are cool with it, because I can guarantee a lot of them are just like, I'm complaining to the boss. I don't want to see this.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some girls that just like go into their safe room and, I don't know, make something out of Play-Doh.
I'm pretty sure the Triple J, yes, but that would be... what are you talking about, the play school set?
Yeah, just getting Humpty Dumpty and like, you're my friend.
Yeah, and playing with abacus.
Accidentally dropping Humpty Dumpty only to realise he's not full of cotton. It is actually yolk. And he goes,
if I eat the brains, it'll be okay. It's so warm.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, everybody. We're getting back to this.
We're getting sidetracked.
Trump. All right, so... Ali, tell us about his picks for cabinet. What's your thoughts?
It's the most depressing. Miss Love, talk.
Interject with stupid contributions.
Yes, like Miss Love just came up and he said that. Oh, did you find out Donald Trump elected Silicon Valley to his cabinet?
No, I didn't. This guy is Waleed, just twisting the news.
Waleed, thanks, man.
I didn't say that. I said. I thought that he was one of these Silicon Valley guys was in cabinet, but then we found out he was just his advisor.
Yeah, and the Silicon Valley dude that we're referring to is Elon Musk. He's the guy that he owns. I think he owns Tesla.
He invented the Tesla coil.
Hang on a second.
Well, he's not in his cabinet or anything, just to clarify. Advisor. I looked it up. No, I didn't know anything about this. He's an advisor.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Basically, Trump is... It's like a marketing strategy. Trump is like...
Do you reckon?
I'm getting advice from everyone, including this guy. Well, yeah. I don't think he's going to make a significant difference. What is going... Like, did you find out? So, he's finally nominated his Secretary of State, which is like America's version of a foreign minister.
Interesting.
The guy, he was like the chief executive of ExxonMobil.
Oh yeah,
energy.
Is that the foreign?
And I, for one, am extremely excited about this. I hear that he's quite good on climate policy.
What?
The guy from fucking ExxonMobil.
Really?
I know. Crazy, right? That's all I've heard is basically in one of those, you know, one of those online articles that tries to look as if it's the New York Times. In that same particular font, and you're just like, I know that you have a staff of four people.
I have to say, like, on that note, is it a possibility? Like Jordan, I think Jordan mentioned it, when he got in, is there a possibility that even these Exxon guys and these big oil guys have realized that it is like economically more, you know, advantageous and viable to invest in renewables because it's better. It's inevitably the future industry. So have they realized that they're looking at it in the perspective of Trump being like, we need to make more money, and maybe they've actually maybe they will see that reality.
I have no doubt that even if you are the CEO of ExxonMobil, that you do realize that climate change is happening. But it's kind of, look at it, think of it this way. You might feel that computers are the future, but if you work for a typewriter company. Yeah. Then it's sort of difficult for you to... Even if you believe that computers are the future, like, you still have to sell typewriters. Throughout his life, he's basically dealt with energy people, right? Who weren't that into alternate energy, because that's more of a recent thing. So he's been, like, he was honored by the Russian president, which is trending news. But what that tells you is that he has a lot of connections with, because why would he get an honor from Russia? Because Russia is an energy rich place. So he has, I'm sure that the good thing about him, he would, because he's not from politics and he was like a CEO, he actually would have a lot of connections and he would understand politics in a good way. The bad news is, because he spent all of his life in Exxon, all of his politics would be motivated towards energy. And I don't think that he will be this avant-garde sort of like, you know, we will make solar, we will make the whole world solar. I bet he's also like, how can we make more pipelines in America? That's what he probably would be thinking. But he is a Secretary of State, so he is technically not supposed to be. Well, he's a diplomat now.
Right.
Yeah, true.
I'd also like to add, wouldn't it be extremely unsettling if he got a doctor's checkup and they're trying to inject him, going, okay, so we're just going to take a quick blood sample and your veins seem to be extremely hard. I'm going to have to do an x-ray on this. Oh, my God. And it is just pipelines.
Yeah, it's like, check my pipeline wang.
Yeah, and then he turns around to the Exxon CEO and he has like one of those oil shafts at the top of his head and he goes, you know my secret. I suppose there's no point for this then. Half whale, half pipeline.
The best pick was Ben Carson, though. Ben Carson was perhaps the best pick in a sense. Because did you find out that Trump asked Ben Carson to like become the Secretary of Health, and he said, I don't know anything about that, even though he's a neurosurgeon. He's like, why would you offer me that? I don't think that's the right thing.
I just wanted to be president.
Is this the stoner black guy?
Yes.
Yeah. That guy's mad.
Who definitely is.
He's mad.
Surely he smokes heaps of weed. How else do you look that sleepy all the time?
Yeah.
Unless he's secretly a mattress. Every one of Donald Trump's picks is just an inanimate object that's dressed up to be a person. He just keeps putting a texture on it.
An inanimate carbon rod.
Everybody just assumes that it's a human being.
Can I just say as a side note, though, you got to admit, every time that Putin gives you props, doesn't it feel like you're really intense.
I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels like you're...
Exactly.
Oh, it's supposed to go like a bosh.
Yeah, I feel like when Putin gives you a thumbs up, it feels like your PE teacher from school that was really hard on you, but like when you did well, he was like, yeah. It feels like that guy is saying thanks to you. Yeah. I feel like every time... You know what I mean?
I exactly know what you mean. No one, you don't.
Your angry dad is impressed. Yep. And you're like, thanks, dad.
There's no one you want approval from more on the planet, let's be honest about this, than Vladimir Putin. Surely.
Yeah. Like he.
Ali, if you were offered a certificate like the bully. From him. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's the bully
yeah.
that, like, you'd well, rather be under his wing than be against him, would you?
But I feel like he's a bully, but he's also like. He became a bully, went astray, but he started off with these really good morals and strong morals and like doing the right thing, and then he kind of just power corrupted him a bit. So he's not like, you know, he's not like as bad as some of the dictators in the world. But, you know what I mean? He's teetering on edge. It's like, he's a nice guy. Like, I don't know. A lot of people are living pretty...
There's a lot about that, is it? I don't know. It's just everything that you hear about him that's really ruthless.
There is some
just
ruthless
just makes you
stuff.
Respect him more.
that's what's
but you don't get
scary.
That about Kim Jong-un at yeah. all. You're just like, yeah, you no. fat piece of shit. Yeah. Everything that he does.
Because like we don't know anything about Kim Jong-un. But like, dude, it's kind of fucked up that how everyone now looks at Putin as this... great sort of leader.
He
this man who is
he definitely has a lot
running,
of
like,
sketchy
I don't know, a shit show.
No, he
it's
yeah,
really
yeah.
strange, and especially the fact this is how weird the spectrum of right wing politics has gotten in America. Yeah. That now he's their hero. Don't you think that the original Republican, even though he's clearly an oligarch capitalist, that any Republican from the 70s would have been going, "Damn, commie," to Vladimir Putin to this day.
Yeah.
But now, all of them think that he's like a bosh.
But I think that's because this whole idea of, you know, going against the grain, rebelling against what, you know, the status quo, the establishment, I think that encompasses it perfectly. Because it's like, why? You know, we don't have to hate him. Do you know what I mean? It's like the ultimate kind of like, fuck you to what is a...
Yes, and how the Republicans have become anti-establishment and where all the anarchists seem to pool into.
Yeah.
Anyone with like a pink mohawk is now like around guys that just start up burger chains.
It's a really weird... I feel like it's this really weird conundrum now where I almost think of it as like the left wing was so important, especially at, you know, in terms of like civil rights and that kind of thing and, you know, equal pay, especially in the... 60s and 70s, and now it's kind of swung to this other, to a degree, swung to the pendulum swung where it's like those sort of leftists, at least the social leftists, have sort of become I don't know, like
redundant.
They're almost pushing their own.
I guess that's what America is saying. You're
Jesus,
redundant.
That's damning.
No, they've become the new right wing. They've become
Dude,
the new
you know
right
what's
wing,
happened?
And then the right wing has become the anarchy. The perception of an anarchist party, and it's just this fucked up. I completely agree with Mustafa
because what's happened is, like, if you think about it. The progressives of, like, the 60s and 70s have now become the conservative. Like, the whole world is now just, like, neoliberal.
They're definitely more oppressive liberalism. In terms of social values. They'll be like, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't do this. It's like, isn't this exactly the opposite
and
of
And not
what-
only that, you'll see people that completely agree with Bernie Sanders, like myself and Ali, that'll switch camps immediately going, well, fine, whatever. Like, it's the grown-up thing to do. I'll be voting Hillary this election.
No, but we're in a minority.
Conservative position.
Exactly.
We're in a minority, and that was proved during the elections as well.
Yeah. You guys have it right. That's the right way. You should be able to be convinced against something if it's correct. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? You can switch. Like, you were saying you switched to Hillary because it was like, it seems like the most rational choice. That's fine. That doesn't make you a sellout. That doesn't make you some sort of like a...
No, dude.
Illegitimate.
Like, I am. We're happy.
To
I'm very happy.
Be perfectly honest, Ali is wearing a checkered shirt that he clearly bought from Ben Sherman or something like that, and this is a Marxist to this day. They've become the status quo, and the right has become so far off the spectrum that they're anarchists at this point. They just like watching the world burn.
Yeah, but you could say the same in terms of like a lot of left people. In terms of like their ideas of being,
I don't think you can.
I think it depends on what we're looking.
Okay, what we're
what we need to differentiate leftists these days. Basically, they're just SJWs, which is just another word for like whiny little bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not an anarchist.
No, it's not an anarchist. I'm not saying they're anarchists. I'm saying they are just as.
No, they're just little turds. There's something more organized.
They're just as extremists.
I wouldn't say they're just little turds.
They're extremists. They're just as extremist as a lot of these so-called. Alt-right people.
Okay, why are they so-called and they're extremists?
Who? What do you mean?
Well, so you're saying so-called. Why are they so-called and the lefts are for sure extremists?
I think there's something... That's probably just a bit of bias, but I think there's something like
okay,
really...
I just wanted to get that out of you.
I can define it, in
real time in his consciousness is just everything is like, yeah, that's what happened, groove on it. It's the
best
way to go through life.
No, but I do.
You are a kite, Miss Love. Going with the breeze.
No, but I think maybe
some kites are scary if they're dressed to look like a praying mantis.
But I'm just saying that I think that there's something particularly okay, put it this way. At least alt-right people can kind of not be triggered. It's just there's something for me particularly frightening about someone being in a some sort of college dorm and who they're at some sort of a conference and they're so absolutely terrified of what they're hearing that they start convulsing. That's scary to me. And that has not. I've never seen a right wing person being like, "How could they say that?" and like have to be dragged out of an auditorium because someone said that women might not be attuned to be in the army or something that they see as something as offensive. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So one guy is getting triggered about it, which is clearly, obviously, something that we can all say is unnecessary.
But it's
not an extremist though, because that person isn't capable of talking. You know, an extremist is somebody who's able to push through an agenda. But this guy, like, fucking breaks down. In a conversation,
but I would
he
say
ain't
that
changing the world.
No,
that
no,
guy
I know.
He's not doing anything.
I would
still and why? And like the idea that okay, if someone says that women should be allowed in the army, like that is a like someone getting triggered about it is something that we can't criticize. But that is a legitimate demand, and someone like the alt-right, if they're trying to sort of say that that is not a legitimate demand, then that in itself is come on, like. Let's look at this objectively. On one hand, we have a guy who is saying that women should be allowed in the army. On the other hand, we have a guy that's saying it doesn't fucking matter. I think it kind of does, man. I think it kind of does. That's the equal opportunity that you were talking about, that in the 60s and 70s that the leftists worked hard for.
Definitely, but there have been issues where it's like women, apparently in America, where women have had to, because of complaints, they haven't had to go through the same training, or they've been the standards that are much lower. And there's been like issues on the field where it's like they can't run far enough and stuff.
That's great. But
what do you? I don't think that's like.
Anyway, I don't. It doesn't. Yeah.
Well, as if that
35th
happened.
35th league of defense.
So like you're saying that women like you have evidence that women weren't able to run as much as men.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I've got evidence of that. It's called the Olympics.
No, dude, but I'm talking about the army.
Yeah, no,
yeah, apparently... But definitely, man, come on.
Okay, we can women all agree have on this, been right? Pretty
they're not
going to
be as fast. But again, that means that, yeah, why don't they just go into jobs in the Navy where they're
but
just
they do. They're not given those jobs. Stuff. Like, I think that they can run as much as men, but... And they do. They might not be able to sprint as fast as men, but this is like this is not a fucking Olympic
That's
race.
That's true. They're, actually, they do have longer endurance than men do.
But
men are better in short spurts.
Like, let's try out you and some other random army woman in a marathon. Trust me, like you'd be.
It's not just running.
Oh, come on, let's not use.
Okay,
Miss
not
Love
Miss Love, but
the peak of male physique.
there was. It wasn't just
this
running.
This man
there
has
was,
tits.
What? Me?
I don't know. Could you? Do you reckon you could sustain a baby if you could lactate?
I don't know how to answer that. But no, that
I don't want to.
But there's been other things like, I don't know, like overall strength and ability in the field. But like, it's just an example. It's just an example of
dude,
like...
okay, you don't need... That's. This is not like a battle between... like armies are pretty sophisticated now. You need brains way more than physical strength. Like, A, you fight with really sophisticated weapons, and a woman can
yes.
do that as
Miss Love, I'll put this in terms you might understand. And as you go forward, your duty maintains clear to build and maintain those robots who will be fighting either in space or possibly on top of a very tall mountain.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That you're kind of over exaggerating that though. There's a lot. There's still a lot of field. Okay, but this is just specific. This is just specific stuff.
Not really though, most conflict over Obama's period reign, there was very little activity on the ground. It was all drones.
Yeah,
that's only going to increase.
And that's like
forward.
This reminds me of like the debate between Mitt Romney and Obama. Mitt Romney thought of this like he thought this was a really good. It's like, isn't this true, President Obama, that today we have less ships in our Navy than we did in 1919? And then Obama's just like looking at him saying, "Yes, Governor Romney, and we have less horses as well."
That was amazing. I remember that. The best Obama takedown. Because it's again, he's a very nice man. So you basically, like him owning someone is extremely diplomatic.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
the greatest 19th century ownage.
Yeah, it was just like.
It was so polite, so curt. But you knew what where the sentiment was coming
but
from
is it like
beneath the polite words.
The sentiment was pretty shit as well. He probably read that statistic somewhere and then didn't realize that we now use aircraft carriers a lot more than
but that's like Obama's thing. It was like, you didn't build that. We, like, immigrants build that. You know, that whole thing where it was
no,
like,
dude, it's got nothing to do with that. Again, immigrants and, like, this is not, like, an ideal. This is literally a factual point where he was saying there's less ships. The reason why we need less ships is because now we have a lot of planes that we can put onto the sea. You know, remember Top Gun, right? So, we don't need as many.
Did he say remember Top Gun? Did he say remember Top Gun? Like, I don't know what ships are. I mean, what planes are.
But I'm talking about, you know what they are, but, like, the use of them is something that... Because, look, if you read that statistic on its own, that, wait, what are you talking about? We have way less Navy ships in the Army than we had in 1919? That in itself is an interesting statistic, but like this, it has literally nothing to do with one's ideology. Mitt Romney asked a question that had nothing to do with conservative ideology, and Obama answered in a way that had nothing to do with immigrants and that we built it up. It was just like the way Navy has transformed over the years. Like, not everything needs to be ideological.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I just think...
But you definitely... are looking at it from a very potato farmer perspective, Miss Love. What was the point of just bringing up? Yeah, but the thing that Obama didn't bring up in that military debate was the immigrants.
Because he probably said that we all built this, Romney, you didn't do anything.
No, it's not that. I just think that to dismiss, you know, I think there's probably a lot of far left or far right perspectives of politics which are uninformed, misinformed in terms of facts and statistics.
This
on
is
either
what I'm
side,
saying is I
on
don't
either
think,
side.
I think that when it comes to
I think
the
Ali,
modern political landscape,
yeah,
I don't think that the left is at all extreme.
I think
there's just a bunch of
That will
corporate media brainwashed idiots that read BuzzFeed most of the time that go around and like glue their hands to Parliament House, and then when like some guy rips their hand off for being okay, you're disrupting Parliament, being like, I'm getting abused, I'm getting abused. But that is not the same as somebody who actively tries to run for office so they can destroy the Department of Education from the inside. That is extreme.
Yeah, I mean, if there was. That's not like a vacuum for power for the left. I mean, there could still be a
yeah, but that's
left
what I'm saying,
as extremist, that, no, you know, sort of like seems... or someone that has the same sort of uninformed opinion that has a platform to get that sort of power.
I'd say that the extremists on the right are insane, and we don't have extremists because they're not doing anything, so they're more just idiots.
Maybe you're right.
And
I'm not
have fucking weirdos on the right.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I just think It's something to mention. It's like, I don't, you know what I mean? Maybe you're right. Maybe there's idiots. I don't know. Maybe they're not really capable.
We are all clasping at straws here.
Yeah, general ideas
that we've seen in videos about people being triggered on the net.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. And that's what I was talking to you about. It's like, I feel like my opinion is pretty void considering I don't sit around reading like economic journals and like texts upon text of like pure facts. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, particularly.
But you do spend until 4 a.m. each morning on account from your girlfriend watching political videos on YouTube.
I do.
Which shows us how far we've devolved as a society. But you are the 1980s version of that dad that reads USA Today every morning. Just like, hey, you see this?
Yeah, that is true.
You see what Reagan just did? That's my boy Reagan. You tell him, in the Supreme Court about the country affair.
But what are you guys then? The academic,
Jesus Christ, I am absolutely not that. You know what I am? I'm a fucking graffiti artist. I'm a modern day graffiti artist.
What?
Spray paints on the side of a train tunnel, just be like, fuck the system. And too many of them got splat by trains, be like, oh shit, oh no, I'm running in its direction. And then we realized the net was safer.
And neither am I the sort of academic that you're portraying. Literally, the only thing that you can do, I probably spend as much time as you looking up this shit, but then it's all about the sources.
Dude, that's true. As long as
you get good sources.
I agree with that. And mine are very biased. That is true.
And not only biased, poor. You don't really watch one of those guys that sits around with a bow tie on all day being like, okay, so let's talk the finer rash.
I do listen to Chomsky a fair bit.
He's not a bow tie wearer. But I do give you credit for that. You do listen to Chomsky. And actually, I know that we were supposed to move on to the Korean election, which we will be doing on Holsworthy Live. So go subscribe to that. We'll do that later. But can you disseminate, Ali, this point that Mislav had the other day where he decided to, quote unquote, quit politics, but by the sounds of this conversation that has been extremely robust on his end, he has not.
Yeah.
Every time I'm out, they pull me back in, eh?
How did you get dragged in this time?
I just saw Alex Jones's really emotional, passionate face and was like, mwah, mwah, come here, boy. You know this. I love you. Mwah, mwah.
Can't stay mad at that.
I can't stay mad at you.
That is a face not only his mother can love, the world can.
Exactly. Do you want Ali to give his opinion on what I told you about just getting out of politics?
So here's what happened.
Yeah.
He watched a video of Chomsky debating some other right-wing academic.
Ezra Levant.
Oh, was this in Europe?
What do you mean? The debate? Possibly. I'm not sure.
You saw this interview because afterwards...
I'm not sure, maybe.
Mislav was saying...
It was a debate, yeah.
That they both had great points, man, and I realised, you know what? Fuck it.
Was this like a European politician?
To go back to listening to Triple J. Okay. Which is what he used to do before he started looking at all these right-wing conspiracy theories.
Totally. No,
what were the points? You may be right. I don't know.
Honestly, there was a lot of stuff. I can't remember. But there was one specific... there was a specific point that was about Jewish discrimination versus Muslim discrimination in Europe on behalf of... like a wide range of societies and a wide range of
So what were the positions?
A wide range of contexts. Oh. And they each had their own perspective. And they each had their own facts to back their perspectives. And they basically came to this... It was a really weird situation when they came to this understanding of, that they essentially agreed with each other. They began... It was just one was just saying that they both agreed that the Muslim discrimination is strong. And one of the guys convinced the other guy that the Jewish issue is just as significant. And Chomsky started off debating that it wasn't as relevant. And it wasn't anything hugely profound. It just they came to this conclusion where they basically agreed. And I just had this weird little epiphany of being like, it's all really subjective. First of all, it's all the sources. But even the sources can be inherently like the way you interpret things. It's almost. Okay. I basically came to this thing where I'm like, I'm not diving deep enough into the subtext of things, and I should just get out of it. I shouldn't really, because I'm just getting my information from
these. So what was the argument that I'm supposed to comment on?
And I don't want to become an extraordinary man. I'm perfectly happy here.
Pretty much.
And I do like buying sacks of potatoes because it saves me money.
I like quesadillas.
So if do you want to... Okay, so in terms of Jewish and Muslim discrimination... Dude, Jewish discrimination was way worse than what Muslim discrimination is now. Yeah. But that was during a very long period.
I didn't want to...
Ended up with like Hitler Germany. Dude, that was discrimination. And obviously if someone says that Jewish discrimination is a problem, they're right. Because we have seen the worst example. Yes, it's a problem. We need to keep a fucking lid on it. But I think what Chomsky was probably trying to say is that the context is different.
In
the sense that what Chomsky was probably trying to say is that, yes, in today's environment within Europe, the issue of Muslim discrimination is significantly more important than anti-Semitism, which
he was agreeing.
I guess it's true, man. It's like if you just look at the list of hate crimes, I bet you could literally quantify this and just look at the list of hate crimes that are reported and look at the hate crimes that are reported in anti-Semitism, and you can see like what the difference is. If it's equal, then, which I highly doubt it, but if it is, then we can say both of them are equal issues at the moment. But if there's, which I think is the case, that there's in Europe especially, there would definitely be more cases of discrimination against Muslims. That doesn't make the anti-Semitism any less important. It just makes it less relevant at this particular time. However, if we find out that there's fucking rhetoric against Jewish people, then you can bet your ass that might increase again. And then that would be more relevant. That would be something that we would need to put a lid on. Dude, in every society, in every situation, there are certain communities that have to face the brunt of the political situation at the time. And that's quite unfortunate. It can be anyone. It doesn't have to be Muslims. It doesn't have to be Jewish people. It can be anyone, depending on the cultural and the political context of the time. So it's sort of useless arguing, saying that this community is hurt more, this community is that. This is a fucking problem that happens. And at this point, Muslim community is someone that would probably be suffering more, but we need to fight this problem. Just suck it up
and get the occasional job at Google.
But what I wasn't asking about the specific question. It was just the idea. I guess I just came to that the realization that like politics is essentially a numbers crunching game, and I'm just like, I don't really know if I'm cut out for that, because you have to be on top of your sources, your numbers, your statistics. Let's be honest, that's really not
But by
me.
The way, anti-Semitism has increased as a repercussion.
That's what my profound epiphany was, but yeah.
But it has increased. Like, this is starting to get become a problem again, because we always say that, because Muslims are pretty much, it's fair to go at them at this point, right? So we always look at that aspect. But with these alternate right and neo-Nazis, a big part of their historical ideology revolves around anti-Semitism. So as a result, with them gaining prominence... Okay, so it's sort of weird. Like, the guy that shot up people in Norway, the Christian people.
Yeah, the right-wing guy, yeah.
It was interesting. He was profusely against Jewish people, and he was an anti-Semite, but he was pro-Israeli.
What?
Yeah. And that's a common alt-right. I don't think even they know what they're talking about. So it's interesting that anti-Semitism, I feel, has grown. And I wouldn't actually say that it's not as much of a problem now. It's growing to be, again, a problem, unfortunately. But it's sort of, it's changed its shape. For some reason, Zionism and the state of Israel doesn't face the brunt of anti-Semitism, which again, technically it should, considering that it is a Jewish state. But for some
reason, alt-right is confused as fuck. For conspiratorial reasons.
You are. Come on, get on board the conspiracy train.
It's conspiracy.
It's more
fun. You heard
it from
the man himself.
It's more, nah.
It's a really good point, though. It is more fun. Yeah. Let's talk about this.
No.
I mean, come on. Why is Zionism having such a cozy fitted with the alt-right? Let's think about it.
Well,
I could give you one answer straight off the top of my head.
What is it?
It's, the Jews.
What? No.
Oh, God.
It's pretty simple, man.
Poor Ali is making these, like, really valid... intelligent points,
yes,
and then
I'm not even saying V properly. I'm saying D.
But man, like,
just ignore him. Just ignore him.
That is.
Oh, come
that
on!
Is not...
I'm the bloody anchor of the show. I've got access to the buttons here.
Yeah, I know.
And I do actually feel like, yeah, I probably should turn my mic on.
Don't. No.
I think the reason why that's happening is because there's obviously a demographic crisis in Europe where there's a lot of Muslims that are coming into Europe, and that's obviously creating some apprehensions. Ritz. The way it did with Jewish people back in the day, it was the same thing. Now they've just assimilated and nobody cares. I hope that Muslims become the same thing. But for now, that's a big worry. And the only sort of bulwark against Islamic states in the Middle East is Israel. So automatically you would, if you believe that you need to keep a tap on them, you would gravitate more towards Israel. But that does not mean that they're pro-Jewish, that they could turn on them anytime. This is not a reliable group of people.
Do you think that they're pro-Thai?
No, they're not pro-Thai, but they're pro-green curry.
Really hate red curry. It's too spicy.
Yellow
curry, they've never even touched it.
But I guess, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I should probably shut up unless I do more research. And
no,
dude, it's just crunching
numbers.
The thing
about politics is,
it's crunching numbers.
It's not just crunching numbers.
It is just crunching numbers.
By crunching numbers, you become more informed about things, but politics is way more important than just numbers. It is that emotional appeal as well. Because politics...
I feel like that's what's wrong with politics.
What?
The emotional appeal.
Yeah, but again, you can't get massive crowds moving of people that most of the time spend all day.
No, I understand.
I can guarantee you, the vast majority of the public has thought more about Hubba Bubba chewing gum.
I sure as hell have.
Yeah.
And if it was all crunching numbers,
ask me that.
Sorry.
The
if it was all
market,
about
shut up. We're talking about Hubba Bubba.
If it was all about crunching numbers, then Donald Trump wouldn't have won. So it's clearly more than just that.
I know it is, but I'm saying that's the problem.
That's a really noble cause on your behalf, Miss.
Yeah.
So you're basically admitting that you're a cancer and you volunteered to cut yourself off the body.
Well, to put it in a very dramatic, self-loathing way, yeah.
And that concludes the Friendly Geordies podcast.
Hey, wait, can I do a shout out? Because I'm going to forget next time. Remember the guy we met?
That's right. And before that shout out, Holdsworthy Alive, the new YouTube channel, subsidiary of Friendly Geordies. Please do check it out. And we're going to upload videos soon.
Weekly, except for last week, which is going to be not the norm. I'm terribly sorry about that.
Me and Jordan met a lovely young man with a promising future at a great rock and roll show the other week at Bay of Dreams, and he gave us a specific note, word by word, to read out. Shout out, legend. So for the boys from that guy, Connor said Zimmer and his bro David are morons.
Hey.
That's right, Connor. That's his name, Connor, sorry. Zimmer and his bro. I don't personally think that, but shout out, boys.